The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. I torture you. Take my hand to the flame. I torture you. I'm a slave.
Talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. I'm Dr. Lori Battito. I'm a clinical psychologist with a specialty in sexuality. Tonight on the program, we focus on alternative sexuality. It's the night we discuss fetishes, we discuss BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or domination, submission. Hence the song we chose for the evening, and all the other non-conventional, let's just say, ways people enjoy sex. So helping us out tonight are Pierre and Catherine. They run BDSMCircle.com, a site that is chock full of information on alternative sexuality. So if you have any questions at all regarding the work they do, the play that they do, the activities they engage in, or any other different forms of sexuality, and you want to talk about yours, or you have a question to ask, please feel free. You can text us at 514-800 or 71010. You can also feel free to call in toll-free 1-800-491-2523. So BDSM Circle has been around for quite some time, right?
Well, the first installment of BDSM Circle was in 2000. And in 2001, I had to actually start renting a space on the web. And at the time, it was quite expensive.
It was very different than it is today,
yeah.
Right?
Now it costs nothing. But at the time, it was actually a small car payment to get the space that we need.
Interesting.
We spent a lot of money at the time.
So we're talking a good 15 years ago, 16 years ago, where you started this. And I guess you started it because you saw a need. I mean, why else would you?
Actually, I had other site before that. I've been on the net since 1998.
Wow.
And actually, I was doing other stuff before.
Like, what do you mean, other stuff related to this?
Well, it was about BDSM, but it was about stories and stuff like this. Actually, I started to deal with the media in 1998 under different situation. And it's when I got together with Catherine that we started to actually work on the site and work on the information and all.
So you were involved in the media as the kind of expert in the field of BDSM. People were interviewing you for
Well, expert is the nice way to describe it.
Practitioner of, let's say. Practitioner of.
You know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, we were still called all kind of names.
Yes, it's true.
And it's changing. I mean, we talked about this at length, and it's changing now, but in the past, we were not case.
You were the crazies.
We were the crazy. We were the, you know.
So interesting how things have changed.
I discovered BDSM before the internet.
Right.
So,
Most people have. Like, there's so many people, including people with particular fetishes, who thought they were all alone in the world.
Exactly.
And then the internet came along, and they started to find other people with very similar fetishes.
Well, you know, when I first started getting those, you know, feelings or urges, and you know, if you look at something like a rape fantasy, which is really, really common.
Okay. Yes, well, it's actually one of the most common fantasies for women. And let's just be clear, having a rape fantasy or being overtaken has nothing to do with a desire to be raped. Let's just be very clear.
So, you know, but when I was young and I get these ideas, or I'd see something that was, you know, rough, and I'd find that, you know, it stirred me. Right. That was like, oh, you know, what's that? Right. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you'd see all these soft love scenes and it's like, OK, that's nice. But didn't really, you know, that's not the way I was wired. And to try and reconcile that with like, was I a nut bar? What was going on? And that's one of the reasons that I started the website, is so that you get good information, because there's people that are, this is just the way they're wired. This is what they're interested in. This is the way they are. It doesn't mean that they don't have integrity or morals, or they want to rape somebody or be raped. It's a part of letting go of your inhibitions, because, you know, you're being overpowered, so it's it, and things like that. But you don't really.
But
want
you're in
to
control.
Be.
That's the.
That's
reality.
Right. That's why you have safe words.
Right. Whereas
and
rape
so that
is
you
not. You have
always
no control.
Stop it.
Right.
If you can't stop it, it's abuse. It's a rape. You know, and that's what it boils down to. And it's one of the things we find that we like to do is to actually talk to people and explain that, you know, they're not crazy. You can. If this is the way you're wired or tilted or mm-hmm. or your sexuality, there's ways to practice it that are safe, sane, and
mm-hmm. and consensual.
And
this is why all the project we do at the media or your radio show is because people talk to us. They see us on TV or they hear us on your show and they want to have more information. And this is great because you have to understand when you talk about somebody's sexuality, there's no more secrets. So you talk about all kind of stuff after that. And some of these people have amazing stories in their life. And for us, it's like riches, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's something that is valuable. When somebody tell you about their life, it's one of the greatest gifts they can give you.
But you learn a little bit from everybody too.
Yeah. Well that's a thing.
Well, we certainly do here because I get everybody's situations. People text in all the time with their issues and questions mm-hmm. that they have, which obviously gives me a little glimpse or glimmer into their sexuality and into their lives. So it is a gift, you're right.
Yeah, and Catherine was mentioning, like before the internet, as a man, before the internet, when you wanted to contact a group, or a fetish group or anything like this, it was long. You were reading magazine, writing letters, you know what we call snail's mails
right,
now.
Yeah.
You were writing letters, waiting for an answer at some point if you were lucky. And it was a long process. The internet just made it easier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, made it so much more accessible. So the purpose of your website, the BDSM Circle, or what you hope that it actually offers, what would you say?
Is to educate and to help people who want to practice BDSM, want to learn about BDSM, want to have questions about it. Often it's people find out, you know, oh my God, my sister's in BDSM. They'll go and they're reading about it. You know, is she getting beaten? It's like, well, you know, so they can go and ask her, do you have a safe word?
Right.
You know, and it's a lot of things like that too.
Well, it's a little bit like that website's like the encyclopedia of BDSM. It has it has 1,000 pages. Like, yeah,
well,
you know.
But you're very kind. It's just
I think it's actually like 3,000.
No, because it's in French, because it's in English.
It's bilingual, right?
It's bilingual. Okay. It's always like 2 page for 1 page.
Right.
And this is why.
Well, that's also pretty cool that you can do this bilingually because not many websites
and
are.
And we also have a personal ad site, like a personal ad section,
okay,
which we go through and weed out. So. You know, a couple times a year. So what that means, if you, unlike the other sites, that like if you go on and you put a profile up there, even if you take out, that profile stays there. So it looks like they have, you know,
millions,
you know, 30,000 people in Montreal. But really, there's only 2 or 3 that are current. So when you look at our ads, they're actually current. They've been contacted again and say, do you want your ads still up and things like this, right?
Right.
We also have a glossary.
Which, of terms.
Of mm-hmm. terms, which, you know, was our thing of it, because things like CBT, for instance.
Which I thought was a therapy treatment.
No, but that's cool.
Which have, you know, you can look up CBT and what is it that you think?
Cognitive
is?
Behavioral therapy.
That's
in,
right.
In my world.
And it is actually a behavioral therapy in a way. It's cock and ball torture
well,
in
let's
my
not,
world.
Let's not
but
exaggerate.
But it could be used for therapy. You know?
We have
you ever going to do that again?
We have a section for stories. And because it's bilingual, we receive a lot of right now French stories. So mm-hmm. if anyone wants to send English stories, just write to us, and it's going to be a pleasure for us to put it on.
But please make it your own story that you have written.
Don't
thank you.
Original content, please.
Original content.
Tonight we are we're talking alternative sexuality. We have Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com joining us, and they are just full of information about BDSM. They are practitioners. They have been featured on the show Kink.
Yeah, that was an adventure.
They do a lot of media appearances. They're really known, at least certainly in Montreal, as the experts in BDSM.
So
if you have questions, 514-800 or 71010. You can also feel free to call in at 1-800-491-2523. You're listening to Passion with me, Dr. Lori Battito. I torture you. Take my hand through the flame. I torture you.
taking your relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, alternative sexuality. Yeah, maybe we talk a little bit about pain and why some people might find that appealing, sexually speaking. I'm joined by Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. And, of course, if you have questions about this, about any sort of alternative sexuality or kink, we could call it anything, really, but kink, things that are non-conventional, or as Catherine has often said, extreme sex in some ways, right?
Yeah,
we call it
exactly.
Extreme sexual play or what
like
have you.
Extreme sports.
Just like extreme sports. Then send them in, 514-800 or 71010. I'm not sure what this texter writes. I'm going to ask him to or her to retext because what do you do for phoresis? And I have no idea what that means.
I think it reads a corrector.
P-H-Y-R-I-S-I-S. Anyway, let's let that. Please specify what you mean. It's not a term that I'm familiar with or that Pierre and Catherine are familiar with. We're talking about alternative sexuality. So some of the things I have to say in discussing sexuality, period,
yep,
openly, publicly, it opens us up when we're in the public eye, especially talking about a taboo subject. And you guys get to another level, which is an even more taboo subject within the realm of sexuality. I have to admit, we get our share of crazies.
Yeah.
Like I know I've already, you know, had to make some police reports. I've already, yeah, I mean, over the years had, you know,
to.
Stalkers and stuff. So obviously it's an area that it concerns you, right?
Well, it does. You know, we have to be careful. We get stalkers. Usually it's different actually usually for Pierre. He'll usually get death threats.
Really?
Whereas I'll more likely to get enamored stalkers that are like,
right,
scary sometimes. Well,
yes, any stalking is scary.
But you're talking about a problem. We met this lady a few years ago. She's the owner of a sex shop, mm-hmm, in a big city. And she had the same problem, just as being the proprietor of a sex shop.
Right.
People would think and assume things about her because she's the proprietor of a sex shop.
Right.
And it's like she would try everything that is in the store and say,
okay, people make those assumptions about me too.
But this is weird. I mean, this is strange.
Yeah, but that's because people are not informed so much. I don't say all people. Some people are not. And then you have very dogmatic or people who are very narrow-minded in their experiences, knowledge, and vision of sexuality,
exactly,
without accepting that there is a large variety of sexuality. You don't have to be in agreement. You don't have to
That's what,
right,
they do. This is what I do. It's tolerance.
Well, it's tolerating and accept. It's more than tolerance.
It's
to me, it's more
well.
Acceptance. I don't need to tolerate you, Catherine. I should accept you as long as you're doing something that is safe, consensual, and legal. Then who am I to judge what one person finds arousing versus another?
You know, that's why you're an amazing doctor and great on this,
yeah,
show.
But you know, in this society, people judge. I think it's one the national sport.
I think all societies do. I think all, like, just people do. It's just, it's so primal that I think it really, it makes people question themselves. You know, often it's people that, the kinkiest people are often the ones that are like, they're terrible. They should all die. They,
right,
should all,
well, actually,
you know.
If you look at the research, what's so interesting is if you look at web searches, like porn sites and what have you, you find some of the more extreme extreme things in the states that are the most religious.
Yep. The Bible Belt.
So where you see some of that happening a whole lot more. So, but it's all underground. It's all undercover. It's not something that is ever talked about. But, you know, it's those who protest the loudest that you kind of question.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about, too. And people get really upset. But there's religious fetishes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean...
And in Quebec, there's a lot because if you remember, the 50s and 60s, church was extremely powerful in French or even in English. So the taboo is sometimes to go against what's, you know... The
religious
that's
teachings.
That's exciting. It's the idea of it being taboo. In fact, we will upset people sometimes because we talk so frankly about it and they feel that this should be like a secret club. And people shouldn't know how to do bondage. And like we get that, you know, fairly often that people will think we really shouldn't just, you know, let all the secrets out.
From your own community?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
they don't,
absolutely.
They don't want to be with us because we've been out of public.
Right.
They don't want to go to a restaurant with us because they're afraid that we could be recognized. And if we are recognized as being BDSM people by association.
There's that, which is just silly because many, many, many of my friends have nothing to do with BDSM.
Well, of course, but it's assumptions. It's all about assumptions.
You know, I'm members of different groups that, well, you know, some of them have found out because I'm on the radio and I've been on TV that...
That's what we are.
You know, what we talk about and stuff.
But they don't.
And just so our listeners know, Pierre and Catherine have very ordinary jobs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't take that the wrong way. But you work in the public and
we look average.
You have, you're average looking and
I'd like to think slightly above
okay,
average.
Okay, well, I mean.
But we're
what
you know
I mean
what?
Is you'd blend in with
yes,
everybody
we could.
Else.
We, you know, there's no visible piercings.
No.
there's no, you know, nose ring.
Well, except for the big BDSM on your forehead.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Yes, and the 3-inch nails.
I'm just kidding. We got a couple of texts here.
Oh, good.
As a rule, this texter writes, according to psychoanalysis, humans are generally wired to seek pleasure and avoid pain. So if one source of pleasure is derived from the very thing that's originally designed to be avoided by definition, that's considered a sheer perversion thereof. You can call it a perversion, but we don't use that terminology anymore.
Well, what they're really craving usually is the endorphins that come after, which could actually, if it's done basically like a light S&M, and it's done for a long term, but
I'm progressive. You're talking
progressive,
about.
Yes, for you know a few hours and safely. You can get almost like a drunk or a high after it if it's done properly from the endorphins, and so you'll get people that will crave the pain in this specific
way.
Thank you. So that they can get those endorphins. So that's usually why people like pain. So,
some other it will be like I said, la mise en scène. You know all the
taboo.
The taboo. The surrounding. To create.
But you know it's interesting. Yes, we're generally wired to seek pleasure. But if we runners, for example, or when you run,
runners.
I don't know. I've tried
the
to
runner's
run.
High.
It's a lot of pain for me. For me that's not pleasurable in the least bit. But yet. And I can see the pain on some of the runners.
Yes.
Look at the ones who run marathons.
Yeah.
By the end, they're in a lot of pain. But yet, what's the high that comes from that? What's the pleasure that comes from that?
But that's the thing. They're in a lot of pain.
High.
And they're
Absolutely.
Stoned at the end of the and they're really stoned.
Kind of that.
Because of all the endorphins.
A couple more questions. Whatever happened to kink anyway? And Eros, where I first saw you, Lori. Wow, you're talking years and years ago. I was on a show called, I was the sex expert on a show called Eros, which aired weekly. And that was like before I believe before I started this show. So 20 years ago. Yeah, maybe a little bit more than 20 years. I don't know. That show just ended.
And as for Kink, they did 5 seasons of what they did, and they stopped. The production company moved on to do other stuff.
And that's what happens actually in a lot of these shows. Like they also get sold to other countries. So I hosted a show called Let's Talk Sex. I did 2 seasons of that show, and that show I later found out is running in Brussels, and then was sold to some other country. And so it's
going around.
They sell them as a package. And 10 years later, it's still being shown. So it's interesting that this is how TV, at least TV in the cable channels, because these were all cable channel TV shows, managed to sell the shows.
Showcase, and I think it's Showtime in the States, but it was a little
They used to air kink.
It was,
yeah, kink was one of those big ones there.
It was, but they had problems with the ratings. Not that there wasn't viewers, but with the
R rating.
The
you
R
mean.
Rating,
right,
yes.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to
the
say
content.
With the content.
In Canada, we are much more lax in the ratings.
Much, much more. So they were bleeping so much that
you could not hear anything.
You know, or when they'd go into like sort of the dungeon scene, if they'd show us in the dungeon or something, you'd see kind of like, oh, there's a person there underneath those black lines and there's something on the wall, but it's blacked out. It was just hilarious.
Yeah, it was a whole other.
Yeah, so I think as time goes on, I wouldn't be surprised if we see them when they're now acceptable because it's lightened up a bit since we did that quite a few years ago. Yeah. So
here's a really good question for you guys. Are there any alternative sexual activities that does not appeal to you or puts you off? You can accept it for others, but just not your cup of tea.
Oh, lots.
Yep, there's a lot.
And I would say if you ask that question to anybody, they would tell you, these are my likes and these
brown
are my dislikes.
Play. I just think that's disgusting.
Oh, you're talking about poop play.
Yeah,
poop
that's play. Just nasty. Yeah. There's all sorts of things. And then, you know what? There's things that you're indifferent to. It's like, I don't know, you spatula, spank the spatula, okay. But it can be really fun. And then there's other things that you think are going to be really fun, but so aren't.
Right.
Right? Or so aren't the first time you do them. And furthermore, there's even things that are fun when you not so much fun when you do them, but are really exciting to think about after.
Well, sometimes there are people who can have fantasies about things but would never want to try them in real life.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, in real life, it might be something that is a turnoff, kind of. You know, like the thought of it might be too scary in real life, but as a fantasy can
oh,
be
absolutely.
Quite arousing. Do you think that people in kink, and maybe this is a question we'll answer after, that people who are more in the BDSM world are generally, and hold on to your answer, generally more open to a whole slew of sexual activity? So we'll answer that question and many more of yours at 514-800 or 71010. You can also feel free to call us 1-800-491-2523. I'm Dr. Lori, and you're listening to Passion, a show all about sexuality.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, alternative sexuality, including, and but not at, you know, not all of it, but at BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or a domination submission with Pierre and Catherine, who run BDSMCircle.com, and here to answer your questions, 514-800 or 71010, and all of my questions, of course. So one of the questions I asked you was, do you find that people who are generally into the BDSM community or fetish community are generally much more open sexually in terms of finding many more things arousing?
Yes and no. That's one of those answers. It depends on the people. Some people are very open-minded and amazing. And some other people are so judgmental. And we're talking BDSM people that it's like a brick wall. And
so they're stuck in their own.
Oh, yeah. Their way is the right way or, you know.
The only way.
I think they internally justify things that if it's okay if I do bondage, if I do it with ropes, for instance, or if I do it with chains, or you'll see where they'll be quite open for other things. Oh, yeah, it's okay if you did that, and it's okay if you're this or that. But when it's their own kink, they'll often not be very open about it.
So they stick to their own. It's kind of like
I found the way
to your own
this
kink.
Is it. Well, they're also they don't have much tolerance for, you know, this is how you should tie somebody up. It has to be
kinda,
this way.
I understand what you're saying, but I was kind of talking about, are they open to many other forms of sexuality.
Not necessarily. Okay. Not necessarily. Some of them are, but right. some others.
I think
like,
so.
We're BDSM, we're alternative, and some are going to look down at gay people. Oh, it's not natural. It's like, what's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. You know, you have your own alternative sexuality. If somebody else is alternative in a different way, that's their own thing. You know,
so respect that. So even within the community, they can be judgmental.
Yeah, certain
of others.
Them are. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Certainly,
that's interesting. And just from a clinical psychological perspective, I know that sometimes when you see somebody with a fetish, like at least when I do, there's usually multiple fetishes. Like it doesn't usually end at one.
Yeah.
We can usually find multiple fetishes there. So I've got some questions for you.
Go ahead.
There seems to be plenty of domination and submission in the BDSM circle, but I never heard of an equal power exchange, which I find much more challenging and hence exciting, and I'd like to know why that is.
Are they talking about like a switch?
I guess where both are switches, I guess.
See, there's lots of times where there's lots of couples who will switch where one is taking a dominant role and one is taking a submissive role, and then they'll switch up on different
Maybe
days
that's
or
what
different
they're
things.
Talking about, yeah.
I don't know if that's what they're talking about, but it is all about power exchange. So although Pierre and I are partners, we're life partners, and we'll both do the dominant role where we will have slaves together. So we're partners in that way.
Okay. We're equal.
Equals.
Right.
Absolutely.
So there's different ways of being equal.
Yep.
But it's not, because it is a power exchange, it's not an equal thing.
Right. Inherently, it's not. It's
exactly.
Like, right. There's no such thing as equal power exchange.
Just consent. I mean, it's equal in that there's consent.
Right.
But just for the explanation, if somebody has a need to dominate someone, and he partner with somebody who has a need to submit, we can't say that it's an equal partnership because they're fulfilling each other's need.
Right.
So it's even if somebody is in a situation where he's the submissive, it's still an equal exchange of, you know.
Right, because they're both consenting to exactly
both consenting
what they
and
want.
They're satisfying
and getting
both
their needs.
Their needs.
So this texter writes, not so interested in scat play, but really enjoy water sports. Nothing quite so intimate as sharing bodily fluids with a special someone. So maybe you want to describe that for our listeners.
What that would be is like golden showers or play with
That's
urine.
That's what scat play is?
No. Scat is with poo.
Poo, oh, okay.
Feces or whatever, I should say. And but this person talking about is golden showers, usually, which is with urine. It is a lot safer and in my opinion, a lot less nasty.
Well, first of all, besides the fact that the safety aspect of it in
poo
feces,
is a biohazard.
Feces is a biohazard. There's lots and lots of bacteria there.
Oh yeah.
Whereas urine is one of those elements that is
sterile.
Is sterile.
It's
right.
sterile. Some people will drink it. You don't want to drink vast amounts of it, but I know from experience that people will drink it.
Okay. Well, I heard if you're stuck somewhere and you've run out of water and
you're
on a deserted island that you could drink your urine.
Personally,
so.
I've never tried it, but
it's just there's not as much minerals as regular water, so this is why it's not as
okay. Not something I would want
to
try.
Salty.
Thank you. Thank you. No, thank you. Is the answer. Another question: does cross dressing make you gay? What a great question that
Absolutely
is, because that's
not
right. And let's just be clear. That the majority,
like I think it's like 80 something percent,
right.
It could be
of
more.
Cross dressers, meaning men who like to dress up as women, are actually straight men.
Catherine had something really interesting. Some of these men are going to call themselves lesbians
because they'll still like women, but they'll consider themselves a woman,
right? But they actually they dress up. They don't
yes,
consider
they dress
them,
up. Yes,
right.
Yeah, they're not. Transsexual here.
The turn on is being dressed up as a woman,
yep.
acting like a woman, but they don't feel like women inside.
Yes.
Well,
but
talking to some of them, they could debate that, but that's probably more
yeah.
philosophical
than anything
else.
Well, but they don't
want to
change. They're not.
No, but they want to feel like a real woman when they're dressed up. I've heard this. It's
some of them actually are going to insert tampons in their anus, just say they want to feel.
Hmm.
It goes far. It goes far.
It can go far, I guess.
I've never seen that face on you.
It can go far. Okay. But there is you know, again, there's a range. So
huge
the cross-dressing is not the same as transgenderism or transsexuality or any of that. So
absolutely
there
not.
Is a difference. And cross-dressing could be a fetish or not. That's the interesting thing is sometimes it can be an arousing thing. So people will want to wear female clothing. Men will want to wear female clothing because it is arousing to them and they use those clothing during sexual activity. Mm-hmm. And then others just want to dress up
yep.
and just feel it's not a sexual thing, which yep. is interesting. It has nothing to do with their with having sex
it's like the,
or arousing.
The
The furries?
The furries. I was going to say Furby.
Yeah,
that
was
the right.
A Furby is an animal or a toy.
I know what you mean.
Furries, yeah.
So you're going to love this one, Pierre, because you've talked about this. What is your opinion of 50 Shades of Grey? I know you hate this.
Well okay. Let's just say that the movie is coming out and this Valentine, the second installment.
Oh, okay.
I saw the trailer and there's nothing BDSM in the trailer. So I'm looking
for. But is
forward.
That surprising? No, it's for the public to see. So
okay, I remember what I said. 50 Shades of Grey is a great movie if you put it out of the context they made it. It's like seeing the Titanic movie and saying that it's about the big damn boat that sink, which is not.
And well, right. It was a love story.
It was a love story. And 50 right. Shades of Grey is exactly that. It's just that they pushed the BDSM thing to milk, you know, the publicity. But it's a police.
I don't hate it.
Well, I don't hate I don't it. It's just the it. Way they push a damn thing.
Look, I think the question really is, do you believe the BDSM that is portrayed in that movie
I think it's a
is
fantasy.
Realistic? Is
it's
realistic.
A fantasy.
Okay.
I mean, you know, he's a billionaire. Let's start right there.
Yeah, that's
you
not,
know.
That's not
and,
your usual
and,
guy.
Yeah, everybody's know, and, a billionaire. And anyway,
and
what would
she's
say?
A virgin graduating from university who likes men, but never really met anybody that turned her on until this billionaire. I mean, come on. Let's start the part.
Let's
it's basically
put it in context.
Like a kinky harlequin romance. That's what it is.
Yeah, well.
And it's a fun bit of fluff. It's got a bit of BDSM in there.
Well,
it's a little bit of hot if that's your
just
thing.
Just the first movie.
And
or the first book.
Well, no, there's others.
Well,
and,
yeah.
and but it's like BDSM fluff.
Right.
Okay, I would basically describe it as bull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's not really right. A very interesting. I have a very interesting, a bit of a nasty text, but I think it's worth sharing. So I'll share that coming up. No, I'll do that in just a few moments. We're talking alternative sexuality tonight on the program. Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle are here. We're talking about bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or submission domination. We're talking about it within safe, consensual, legal. Aspects. I think it is very clear. We have to make that very clear that that's what it's about.
And we're not talking about 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, no, that's right. But you'll see why I said that when I read you that next text. 514-800 or 710-10 to join us on the program. You're listening to Passion with me, Dr. Lori. I torture you. Take my hand to the flame. I torture you. I'm a slave.
Stimulating Radio, Passion with Dr. Lori.
Alternative sexuality tonight. All right, listen to this text, first of all. Wow, talk radio hit a new low tonight. Is Jan Gomeshi a hero now?
Wow, this guy really wants to make friends with us.
Yes. All right, let's address this for a minute, okay? Because from everything that I know of this whole, that whole situation, we talked a lot about it when the mm-hmm. whole thing was happening. The women who were involved or who were accusing him did not engage in any negotiation exactly with him or consent to be beaten, really.
Choked.
Choked, whatever it was.
I believe it was choking.
Well, there was choking. There was other activities, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And the big issue around that whole case was about consent. And that is the cornerstone of... true BDSM involves consent. And you said at the beginning of the show, if you cannot stop it,
it's rape.
Then it's assault.
Absolutely.
Right. If you cannot stop it, it is assault.
If you can't change your mind halfway,
then it's
and
assault.
And say, oh, okay, no, we need to stop now. It's assault and it's illegal and it's immoral and it's, you know, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Anyway, so a lot of people have issues, obviously, with this whole concept. This person, another one with issues, says sex with an animal might be safe, consensual, etc. It is even legal in some countries. That doesn't make it right. It isn't actually legal.
Well, it's also not consensual. An animal can't consent.
That's right.
I find that abhorrent,
yes.
Personally.
We love animals. So.
I love animals, certainly not that way.
And they cannot consent. That's exactly right.
Absolutely. They cannot consent. So I consider that immoral just on that mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
It's like cannot consent. It's like an adult who is not mentally there or is mentally challenged.
Drunk.
Or drunk cannot consent.
Right.
That's right. The way that boils down to. And we're talking consent.
And that's what makes it illegal and makes it assault.
And immoral. Yep.
Exactly. So, you know, when you draw those parallels, I just like, ugh, gets my back up. Another texter writes, we live in an age where right is wrong and wrong is right. Homosexuality, transgender, BDSM is totally a sickening lifestyle. See, that to me, that kind of talk... is what's wrong with the world.
Yeah, well, open-minded
hate.
People,
it's
yeah.
It's hate talk. And
it's hate talk,
is,
yes, exactly.
Is, you know, you think here, it's 2017. You're getting to a point where it's hopefully acceptance, but at least tolerance.
At the very least.
And people looking around and saying, you know, it's a great big world out there. And there's a lot of cultures. There's a lot of sexualities. There's a lot of things that it might not be my thing. You know, there's a saying within the kink world is, your kink is not my kink, but your kink's okay.
Yeah.
And,
it is
you know, if it's consensual and adults and...
There's so
what's
much
your bloody
to see.
Problem?
We're talking about different nationality. And the big center where we live, you have all kind of nationality. You go in different area and you see different way people live. You learn so much. It's the same thing with alternative sex. You talk to people, they tell you things, and you learn so much. There's so much thing to discover. So when somebody put you know themselves between walls, saying everything else is sick. It's
right.
It's like poor.
I'm
poor
normal.
Them.
You're not, and yeah. that's the you
it's
know.
Sad.
So one of my guests once said, you know, you're don't diss my yuck. Your yuck might be my yum. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So again, you're entitled to not agree with or.
But you have at least to respect it.
Yes, you and I really do, and it's again.
Yeah, it's sad to
right
to, it's sad, yeah.
And putting it in a right or wrong category, it's not about right or wrong.
Well,
unless
you know
you're doing something that's illegal
if
or
you look
non-consensual.
At food, okay? Just look at food and how different cultures eat very differently. You know, and I may not like Indian food or Asian food, but it doesn't mean that someone else can't really enjoy it.
That's right.
That's okay.
Another texter, just because something feels good, it does not mean you should do it. But again, it's not about that.
It reminds me that the talk the church was having in the 50s. You know, if you like something and it's like immoral, you're going to go to hell. You know, it's like, whoa, we're in 2017,
well,
folks.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of very religious people who, and I think part of it's actually because of the religious constraints
mm-hmm.
who will actually have a lot of fetishes and kinks because of that. There's certain religions, let's say, that
I
are very
that,
male
yeah.
dominated,
mm-hmm.
okay, that will have a kink for a female dom, for female mm-hmm. domination, for instance. You know, and there's certain cultures and certain religions that almost like breed that.
Yeah, well, listen, we see it in every walk of life.
Yep.
You don't have to agree Absolutely. Or think it exists. Like a lot of people think, oh, not in my community. Oh, yes, in your community.
Oh, yep. Yes.
In every community. That's the reality. They may not be talking about it, but things go on behind closed doors.
All
so,
economic levels.
And that's true, too. So this texter says, I'm straight, but enjoying shemale porn. Is it common?
Sure.
I know there's a lot of people who are curious about it. And you can find a lot of movies or videos on the internet about it. So there's some popularity. I could not tell you exactly
it
what,
wouldn't
but
be that
but it seems to be popular.
Easy to get.
It's also somebody who may be more bi curious.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
But,
sure.
But like Catherine is saying, it would not be that easy to get if there was no client.
No, that's right. No interest in it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This text writes, I've enjoyed cross-dressing for a while and I feel guilty and not sure if it is wrong.
Education.
Again, when somebody feels that kind of guilt, that's usually when they end up in my office. So people
it's
with
sad.
Fetishes that have, you know, who have these compulsions or desires that they don't understand and so therefore feel really guilty because they've been told all their lives that this is somehow wrong. So again, it's not something that you're doing that is
wrong.
Unsafe and illegal or hurting anybody unless it starts to affect your relationships and other things. Like, so talking to someone might help actually,
you know,
overcome that guilt.
We find, you know, a lot of people write us and for years. And what we usually find is the problem is if they've got a partner and they, let's say they always want to dress as a woman during sex and that, and the partner finds this off-putting. And that's where, you know, personally, I think therapy can really be very helpful. Mm-hmm. I know there's people that we've referred to you mm-hmm. and that have certainly been helped for things like that. Because often, you know, it's really hard as a couple to understand it.
Right. Somebody wants to know, what is a shemale? Describe it.
That would be basically some would look like a female but have a penis. Right.
Yeah, usually they have breasts. They look like women because they have the surgery, but they still have a penis.
Often incredibly beautiful women
yep.
that if you didn't see them naked, there is no way that you would know.
Right, but they have a penis. And that's,
yep.
Yeah.
Speaking about water sports and drinking urine, the International Space Station recycles urine as they're drinking water.
True. That's true. That's true.
Good
there
point.
You go.
Well done.
Great
well
text.
Done.
Bravo.
Yeah. Thank you for educating us, actually. This texter wants to know, are there any titles, books, movies you could suggest that portray BDSM in a religious context?
Oh,
do you have anything on your website about that?
No, we don't have anything about books or
there
movies.
There are sites but, for this.
Okay.
I'd probably look up like Prayer Bench.
Mm-hmm. That's a site.
It's okay. The movie.
Well, no, for movies and stuff, though, there's a lot, but it's not necessarily. It depends on what you consider a positive
a
light.
Or what you consider right? a movie.
Yeah, what you consider like a positive light because...
Because
yeah.
there's some porn out there that they do things, priests and nuns
right,
and stuff.
It's
like, but
the religious themes.
But yeah, it's a religious theme, but it's like mainstream movie. It's a good question.
Yeah. So you can always just Google it.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. but that's a good question.
Yeah.
It's
another texter wants to know, are there any legitimate dominatrix teachers or courses you could recommend?
There's a lot of people.
To be a dominatrix?
To be a dominant. There's a lot of people who teach other dominant, who teach other dominant how to be dominant. And it's not always, they don't always do good result, let's say.
Right. I think it's important. Well, here's an.
You know what? Buy a
few
books. Mm-hmm. Buy like Jay Wiseman's book.
Yeah, that's a good book.
Buy like Different Loving. Buy some of the basic popular books. Read the website. Because the thing is it's how you and your partner negotiate. If you're looking for something specific, you can find out how to do it safely. But really, it's your own way. There's not a right or wrong way.
So I'm just going to end with this. This texter writes, your liberalism has led you to immorality. Okay. Well, I'm okay to be a liberal. It's fine. We'll keep it that way.
No.
We've run out of time, guys.
Okay, but
thank
I'm shocked to learn that you're immoral now.
Yeah, well, it's okay. People can judge me as they want. I expect it, but whatever. Thank you guys for being here. We'll catch up with you again the first Wednesday of next month. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to our technical crew in Montreal and in Toronto. You've been listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito. Please stay in touch through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Lori Battito. That's DR, then my name, Lori, and my last name spelled BETITO. Or you can go to my website, drlori.com. I'll speak with you again tomorrow night. Right now, stay tuned for The Comedy Show with your funny man, Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to fill your life with passion.